No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 9th day of January. How are you doing today? How are you feeling? How is this journey through the Bible for you so far? Lots of questions up at the front here. Let's just take a second. Let's just take a second to let go. Doesn't it feel so good just to make a loud exhale sometimes? Like, who said we gotta exhale quietly? Just let it go. Let go of the weight of the world. Let go of the worries of the weary head. The ones that we cannot control, we cannot fix. The things that we were not meant to know and carry in our human, fragile heart. And yet our hearts ache with compassion for those that are helpless. It burns for the injustice of the world that we are supposed to, as believers, we are supposed to stand against. And if we let it, it will crush us. But here in this space right now, we can let this go. Let go of the things that are not ours to hold on to right now. And we let them go so that we can be present with God and allow His word to speak to us. Let's just do that one more time. Let it go loud if you want to. Ready? The heaviness. Nobody said the heaviness is pretty, but it feels good to let it go. So, trusting that you've let it out of your hand, out of your hair, and aside from your heart, let's jump into the word today. Today we read Job chapters 21 through 23. We left off yesterday with Zophar, and to me he sounded a bit like his intellect was leading this discussion. And let's hear what Job has to say to his friend Zophar today. Job chapter 21 in the Christian Standard Bible. Then Job answered, "Pay close attention to my words. Let this be the consolation you offer. Bear with me while I speak. Then after I have spoken, you may continue mocking. As for me, is my complaint against a human being? Then why shouldn't I be impatient? Look at me and shudder. Put your hand over your mouth. When I think about it, I am terrified, and my body trembles in horror. Why do the wicked continue to live, growing old and becoming powerful? Their children are established while they are still alive, and their descendants before their eyes. Their homes are secure and free of fear. No rod from God strikes them. Their bulls breed without fail. Their cows calve and do not miscarry. They let their little ones run around like lambs. Their children skip about, singing to the tambourine and lyre and rejoicing at the sound of the flute. They spend their days in prosperity and go down to Sheol in peace. Yet they say to God, 'Leave us alone. We don't want to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what will we gain by pleading with him?' But their prosperity is not of their own doing. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is the lamp of the wicked put out? Does disaster come on them? Does he apportion destruction in his anger? Are they like straw before the wind, like chaff a storm sweeps away? God reserves a person's punishment for his children. Let God repay the person himself so that he may know it. let his own eyes see his demise. Let him drink from the Almighty's wrath. For what does he care about his family once he is dead, when the number of his months has run out? Can anyone teach God knowledge, since he judges the exalted ones? One person dies in excellent health, completely secure and at ease. His body is well fed, and his bones are full of marrow. Yet another person dies with a bitter soul, having never tasted prosperity. But they both lie in the dust, and worms cover them. I know your thoughts very well, the schemes by which you would wrong me. For you say, where now is the nobleman's house? And where are the tents the wicked live in? Have you never consulted those who travel the roads? Don't you accept their reports? Indeed, the evil person is spared from the day of disaster, rescued from the day of wrath. Who would denounce his behavior to his face? Who would repay him for what he has done? He is carried to the grave, and someone keeps watch over his tomb. The dirt on his grave is sweet to him. Everyone follows behind him, and those who go before him are without number. So how can you offer me such futile comfort? Your answers are deceptive. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, can a man be of any use to God? Can even a wise man be of use to him? Does it delight the Almighty if you are righteous? Does he profit if you perfect your behavior? Does he correct you and take you to court because of your piety? Isn't your wickedness abundant, and aren't your iniquities endless? For you took collateral from your brothers without cause, stripping off their clothes and leaving them naked. You gave no water to the thirsty and withheld food from the famished, while the land belonged to a powerful man and an influential man lived on it. You sent widows away empty-handed, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. Therefore, snares surround you and sudden dread terrifies you, or darkness, so you cannot see, and a flood of water covers you. Isn't God as high as the heavens? And look at the highest stars, how lofty they are. Yet you say, what does God know? Can he judge through total darkness? Clouds veil him so that he cannot see as he walks on the circle of the sky. Will you continue on the ancient path that wicked men have walked? They were snatched away before their time, and their foundations were washed away by a river. They were the ones who said to God, leave us alone, and what can the Almighty do to us? But it was he who filled their houses with good things. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see this and rejoice. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our opponents are destroyed, and fire has consumed what they left behind. Come to terms with God and be at peace. In this way, good will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and place his sayings in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be renewed. If you banish injustice from your tent and consign your gold to the dust, the gold of Ophir to the stones in the wadis, the Almighty will be your gold and your finest silver. Then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. When you make a decision, it will be carried out, and light will shine on your ways. When others are humiliated and you say, lift them up, God will save the humble. He will even rescue the guilty one, who will be rescued by the purity of your hands. Then Job answered, today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. If only I knew how to find him, so that I could go to his throne. I would plead my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn how he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he prosecute me forcefully? No, he would certainly pay attention to me. Then an upright man could reason with him, and I would escape from my judge forever. If I go east, he is not there. And if I go west, I cannot perceive him. When he is at work to the north, I cannot see him. When he turns south, I cannot find him. Yet he knows the way I have taken. When he has tested me, I will emerge as pure gold. My feet have followed in his tracks. I have kept to his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commands from his lips. I have treasured the words from his mouth more than my daily food. But he is unchangeable. Who can oppose him? He does what he desires. He will certainly accomplish what he has decreed for me. And he has many more things like these in mind. Therefore, I am terrified in his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not destroyed by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face.
As the dialogue continues today, we hear Job bring to the forefront some very human thoughts behind some very human emotions, or maybe vice versa. Maybe some very human emotions behind the human thoughts. First of all, a fair question. My complaint isn't against a human being. I am not being unreasonable. I'm not waiting for a person to show up and speak. I am waiting for God, and he seems to be hiding himself from me. We have all been there. At some point in this journey of faith, we have felt like God has abandoned us. I shouldn't say all of us. Most Christians, I would argue, have felt that way and asked that question. God, where are you? It just seems that you are anywhere except for here when I need you the most. The other very human argument that Job is placing is, why does it seem that the evil go unpunished? Maybe even the question he's asking is, why does it seem that the evil are rewarded? Where is the consequences for those who do not live a life of integrity? And further, why does it seem like those that are void of any moral compass whatsoever get rewarded? Why does it seem like they are the ones that get ahead? I can't see anything wrong with asking that question. But these are questions that are being answered by his friends. And this is a really essential point of the story, I believe, today. These questions are being answered by Job's friends with the motive and the intent to help him. And we spoke yesterday, they are more than likely inflicting more pain. They are answering by their knowledge, their human knowledge, their limited intellect about God. And I say limited knowledge because we all have a limited knowledge. We can never know all of the mysteries of God until we see him face to face. However, where it does not work is when good-meaning people are offering their knowledge about God and yet they lack a relationship with God. I want to pause for a second because that's got to sink to the bottom. This was in the creation story at the very beginning of the Bible. The serpent tempted Eve, deceived her by telling her God would surely not punish them if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were already in communion, intimacy with God, made in his image, and left relationship for knowledge of good and evil. They left the relationship to know about. They left the Creator to know about him. Let me break this down even more specifically in a way that maybe we can better understand. We as believers argue the Bible while we've never read the Bible. We are arguing regurgitated information that we have accumulated in our lives. Our parents, our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, our mentors, our group leaders, grandparents, aunts, uncles, well-meaning people, that it's all been gathered. It's been handed down for years and years in the sake of tradition, in the sake of this is how our family believes this. This is how I taught my children. We should be teaching them to think for themselves based on the truth of God's word. We cannot be nourished by food that someone else eats and tells us how good it is, and tells us how it tastes, and all of the textures and the flavors and the spices and how it was cooked. We know about the food that someone ate, but we will never receive the nourishment that they received by consuming it for themselves. This is the same way when we exchange knowledge about God for relationship with God. We can know God through his word. We can know God through prayer. And prayer, I heard the best thing about prayer the other day that slapped me upside my head. We think prayer is just talking to God. There's no wrong way to talk to God, because we get so insecure if we don't sound the way that that person sounded when they prayed really beautifully. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is talking and waiting and listening at the same time. And we've got the talking part down really good. We've got the asking and the demanding with our spiritual authority. But are we stopping and pausing and waiting to hear what God might say to us? This is a conversation. This is dialogue. It takes two people to have a dialogue. One person is a monologue. Two people is a dialogue. And a relationship is both people talking, both people listening. I'm working on this. I am still working on this. I do not have this mastered. I got a long ways to go in relationships with the people I love and in relationship with God. I want to do all the talking. I need to listen. So Holy Spirit, we pause here today, even in this moment, we pause in the uncomfortable silence. We have filled our lives with so many things to fill the silence because we're uncomfortable in the silence. Maybe we're afraid of what you might say. Maybe we're afraid of what you might do. But in this moment, we give you full permission to say and do whatever it is that you would love for us to hear. Speak to our hearts. Offend our minds. Offend our intellect to reveal our hearts, to reveal the truth of who you are. And may we be open to receive. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear your truth, the truth of who you are, Almighty God. And we just pause here even another second to wait on your voice. Lead us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.